This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. Your number is 877-217-5757. And emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Robin Dow is producing. We are now 11 days removed from the November 18th election, which most thought would be a runoff election for governor. Jeff Landry won in the primary of October 14th. There was no runoff for governor, but three statewide elected officials did win handsomely, all Republicans. And as a result of what happened a week ago Saturday, Liz Murrow will be the attorney general. John Fleming will be treasurer. And the secretary of state will be Nancy Landry. The race that was closest, and it can't get any closer. Usually when we have a one-vote race, it's one with a few votes, and that's how you get a one-vote margin. Even then, it's hard. Even if there are 20 votes, it's hard to win by one. In fact, if there are 20, you can't win by one. You would have to win like 11-9. But this one was 21,621 to 21,620. And it was in Caddo Parish for the sheriff's office. And the Board of Election Supervisors announced that both Henry Whitehorn and John Nicholson received an additional three votes after a recount. So the election results remain unchanged, meaning Whitehorn is the victor by one vote. Whitehorn is a Democrat. Nicholson is a Republican. And it looks like it's going to be a case in which we have a one-vote margin, but the person who did not win, John Nicholson, has gone to court, and we have a gentleman who is in the Nicholson camp who is with us, an accomplished man, Louis Avalone, who, along with Stephen Parr, hosts a national radio show out of North Louisiana that airs in 41 markets. It is a conservative outlet, American Ground Radio, and this man is also an accomplished business person in Louisiana, Louis Avalone. And good morning to you, Louis.
Good morning, Jim. So glad to be with you.
Nice to talk with you. Well, what's your perception about what has happened and whether Mr. Nicholson has a chance of overturning the results?
Well, I certainly do believe that the court will order a new election, because the analysis that the court generally goes through in these cases is whether or not it is impossible to know who won the election. And in this instance, we have two voters who voted twice. Both voted absentee and in person on election day. And so you don't know who they voted for because, of course, with the absentee ballot, it gets separated, the affidavit flap gets separated from the ballot itself, and once that is done, that ballot is counted, but it's certainly, we can't identify which voter it belongs to. So we don't know how these two voters voted, whether they voted the same both times, but at the same time, we just need one vote.
We do know their party affiliation, though, I would presume.
Well, we do, but that information is being kept under seal. In fact, the lawsuit that was filed by John Nicholson, the Republican candidate for sheriff, in the lawsuit, he preyed upon the court to keep that information confidential and for it to be sealed, because he did not want to dox, so to speak, those voters, because they could be the subject of great criticism with respect to the mistake that they made in voting twice and possibly risking having to have the entire parish go back to the voting booth in this sheriff's race. So there's also a lot of other issues involved here, and I want to say that I think your listeners need to pay particular attention to their registrar of voters in their parish, because the registrar of voters is the gatekeeper with regards to the absentee ballots. And if there are any irregularities with respect to the filling out of that affidavit flap where the voter has to sign, print their name, indicate their mother's maiden name, it has to be witnessed there are a number of formalities in that absentee ballot that must be complied with per the election code in order for it to be counted.
All right. You're covering a lot of ground, and we have a short time to get to the finish line. I want to get some people who might want to comment on as well. But Louis Avalone, for those unfamiliar, is an attorney, a general contractor. He owns multiple businesses, and he's been involved in conservative politics in the Shreveport area for a long time, and is co-host of American Ground Radio with Stephen Parr. I thought Stephen might be with us today as well, but Louis obviously knows the lay of the land. And your candidate did not win. Would you be kicking up this kind of dust if the results were the other way around, Louis?
Absolutely. Insofar as here we have the highest law enforcement officer in our parish, and both of these candidates should be clamoring for the law to be upheld, the election code, for the rules to be followed. We're a nation of laws, not of men. And so a lot of folks have asked that question of me. And my answer is this: do you want the next sheriff of the parish to be in office under these circumstances?
All right. A listener asked a good point. A good point, Louis. I don't know what has been done. Apparently, those votes have just been counted as though they were valid. You tell me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't it be wise just to throw out those votes since we know that two people voted twice? If that's the case, why not just throw out those votes and live with the results with them not included? What would be the opposition to doing that?
That would be wonderful. But that's an impossibility insofar as those affidavit flaps, when the votes come in, the absentee ballots come in, are separated from the ballot. Once that happens, there is no identifying who those two voters voted for twice. So if you go to, who do you give the votes to?
If you don't know, you can't do it. And a listener also notes it's been a long time, almost 50 years, but here in Baton Rouge we had a similar situation for a congressional seat in 1974 in which Jeff Lacaze, the Democrat, was apparently the victor over Henson Moore, and then there was an irregularity and the race was rerun, and Henson Moore won that race. And as we know, generally speaking, not universally, but generally speaking, Republicans win lower turnout elections, and it would seem that if that's the case, that your candidate might have a pretty good shot of winning on the second go-around. But how do you think the courts will do? They may agree, they may disagree, but you obviously are confident. Why are you confident?
Well, I've read a great deal of the case law in these matters, and there are two tenets that the court analyzes these cases under. Number one is there an impossibility to determine who won the election? And if you only look at two people who voted twice and you don't know what to do with their votes, there is an impossibility here to determine who won. On that alone, number two, the court looks at, but for that irregularity, but for two people voting twice, would the outcome of the election been any different? In that, the answer is also yes, absolutely. Now, in most elections, you've got a wide margin of victory. So two people voting twice...
Well, we don't know if it would be different. It could be or it might not be.
Well, that's true. But then I would refer you back to the first tenet that the court looks at, and that is it impossible to determine who won? And in this case, it is. And so once you get past, if you get past that first question of whether it is impossible to determine who won, you then look at, even for that irregularity, even for that fraud, would the outcome have been any different?
All right. Bill downtown. Bill, you're on Talk Louisiana with Louis Avalone. Bill, good morning, sir.
It's my understanding that when I vote at a machine, that the only thing they get out of those machines is the vote total for each thing on the ballot. There's no way to track who voted where or for who. So there's no way that we can unwind this situation from the machine side or the absentee ballot side, correct?
Lewis?
Yeah, well, that is absolutely correct. No doubt about that. Once the affidavit flap is separated from the absentee, the mail-in ballot, it becomes completely anonymous, like the voting booth numbers as well.
Thank you, Bill. And Jim on I-12, we'll slide you in before the break. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning. Need to find one more vote. I've heard that before. I think it was in Georgia. Somebody's going to jail for it. But I'm really sorry. The same refrain of we didn't win, therefore we're going to sit there and challenge everything. It's getting really old.
All right. We're going to get Lewis to comment, and then we'll hear from Greg Hilburn and Mary Patricia Ray. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In just a few, we will hear from Greg Hilburn, the veteran reporter. USA Today Network is his employer, and many remember him under a different name, Gannett, but he's covered the Capitol, like few others, if any, over the last generation. And he's based in North Louisiana, and he's covering the story we're talking about right now, and he'll be joined by Mary Patricia Ray, the notable political consultant and adjunct law professor at Tulane, and she has some thoughts about the new regime that takes office in 39 days. But right now, we're surveying the landscape in the great city of Shreveport, where the Caddo Parish Sheriff's race was decided by one vote, and a recount gave each candidate three more votes. And as a result, we still have the same result, with Henry Whitehorn winning by a single tally over John Nicholson, 21,621 to 21,620. Now, Nicholson's people, including our guest, Louis Avalone, who's an attorney, business person, and activist in Shreveport from the conservative ranks, and a radio talk host as well, they're challenging this. And in Louisiana, obviously, your vote is sacred, and it's hard to find out how somebody voted. It used to be possible when we would actually fill in absentee ballots, and that's why people like John Breaux never voted absentee. He would come all the way from Washington to Crowley to cast his vote in person because he didn't want people to know who he voted for. And so there were two cases, Louis Avalone says, in this particular election in which people voted twice, and we have no idea who they voted for. So he's saying a new election has to be held to be fair. And there are those who I'm sure would agree with him, even those who disagree with the candidate who he is supporting. And then there are others who say, look, there are always irregularities, and you got to take it like a man, Louis Avalone. What do you say to those who say this is sour grapes?
Well, then we're all disenfranchised. Then the perception of voter fraud here is going to drive honest citizens out of the democratic process, because the moment that we believe that our legitimate votes will be outweighed by fraudulent ones, we just don't participate. We just don't get involved because we say it won't matter. And in this instance, it's not just voter fraud. It's not just voting irregularities, because yes, I can agree and concede that in most every election, there are irregularities that are present. But at the same time, ordinarily, you can't demonstrate those irregularities would have changed the outcome of the election. Here we have multiple dozens of absentee ballots, some of which have never been signed by the voter. Some have the witness signature only, but otherwise don't meet the requirements of the election code. So the part of that is also, will you have confidence in the next election? Will you go All right. vote in the next election if you feel that the registrar of voters in your parish, the Board of Election Supervisors, aren't even really paying attention to who's voting? And that's what we seem to have here.
Well, a listener notes you're making a good case that maybe a new election is practical, if not realistic, and a good thing in this particular instance. But we are doing this post-2020, in which there was a claim that an election was stolen, and clearly it was not stolen. I would hope that you would acknowledge that, that Donald Trump lost and Joe Biden is the legitimate president. Or are you in the camp who believes that there was a massive irregularity there that could have swung 7 million votes to Donald Trump away from Joe Biden?
Well, I can only speak to what I've researched and know directly. And so with respect to the 2020 election, and I know a lot of folks might be rolling their eyes and saying that's a deflection, but at the same time, those are some much larger issues. Each state has different laws with regards to their election code. The Louisiana election code is the one that I'm most familiar with, and certainly in this instance, in this particular race, I can say that the case law that I have researched indicates that it is impossible to tell who won this election, and it is likely that a court will, in fact, order a new election, which may occur as early as December the 16th.
Okay. Well, we will follow it with you, and I appreciate your time today. But it is a case in which I think you can say you supported the candidate who, at this point, is not the winner. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. That
okay.
is correct.
And this is nothing new. When the Supreme Court voted 5-4 against a recount in Florida, I can guarantee you the five justices who voted against the recount all voted for George Bush, and the four who voted for the recount all voted for Al Gore. So sometimes it's hard to separate politics from elections. That's what elections are all about. But in this case, I must say you've made a plausible case. If two people voted twice and we can't discern who they voted for, and the election's decided by one vote, then I think if I were the judge, based on what you're telling me, and I'm presuming it's true, I believe you, then I would order a new election. So that's where we are. Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate your time today.
Likewise. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. And Greg Hilburn's been covering this story for USA Today Network, and this is something I will say this. Louis Abalone was stating that this might dissuade people from voting based on what's happening. I think it would probably encourage people to vote because it shows that one vote can make a difference. But where do you see this going, Greg Hilburn?
Well, it's just a really incredible story that's gotten national attention. It's not like it's a race for the a city council person in Houghton where there's, 100 votes. This is 40 out of 40, more than 40,000 votes. These candidates were separated by one vote. After a recount, they separated by one more. My colleagues at the Shreveport Times are covering this closely. I have been watching their coverage closely and in Shreveport often. And it is really remarkable. I think that there is I understand Mr. Nicholson's feels an obligation to himself, but also to his supporters and contributors, to move forward and legally, in a legal manner, challenge the results, take it as far as he can. On the other hand, I think there's a real risk that will turn a large segment of people off, and that if there is a new election called, or if he wins, I think he risks with some people, not all of course, not with his many, many supporters, question his legitimacy as sheriff, as there are questions that will be about Mr. Whitehorn. So it's a fascinating story.
And as we know, in parishes in Louisiana, the sheriff is often one of, if not the most powerful person in the parish. And Mary Patricia Ray, I would imagine if there is a runoff, there'll be a lot of attention, a lot of money, and it'll be a lower turnout. That's a given. And usually that benefits the Republicans. So Mr. Nicholson would probably be the favorite. That doesn't mean he's going to win, but this is a real mess, isn't it?
You know, I think one of the best parts about the story getting attention is that maybe the rest of the country will get a view into how intense sheriff's races are in Louisiana. I ran a couple this cycle where we upset, you know, an incumbent or the person who wasn't supposed to win, as has happened in Shreveport. And we have a legacy of even violent sheriff's elections, especially in South Louisiana. And these are very serious. I actually worry about how a special election in this instance could get dangerous. I mean, I know that might sound a little crazy to people outside Louisiana, but it's a blood sport, politics, mm-hmm. in Louisiana. And in this case, I think maybe even quite literally. And I'm not sure it makes us look good to have a special in general with the dynamics of this race, but
a judge will have to rule on the merits of the case without regard to mm-hmm. the repercussions. So we'll talk about that and more when we return with Mary Patricia and Greg. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, 877-217-5757. Mary Patricia Ray of Top Drawer Strategies. That's her company. She handles a lot of campaigns in Louisiana and has worked for both Democrats and Republicans. The notable Democrat was John Bel Edwards, and she was front and center when he won in 2015. And Greg Hilburn's been covering Louisiana politics for a generation or two, based in the North Country, but spends a lot of time here in Baton Rouge trolling the halls of the Capitol. Right now, the attention politically, at least for a few days and probably longer, is in Shreveport, where the Caddo Parish Sheriff's race, after a recount, it ended with the same margin of victory as the November 18th election. One vote, Democrat Henry Whitehorn over Republican John Nicholson. Whitehorn is a black Democrat, and Nicholson is a white Republican. This is a city and parish that is largely Democratic, but has a Republican mayor, and was carried by none other than Jeff Landry in the October 14th primary. And that was a question from a listener, Hal in Monroe. And Greg, how is Shreveport, of all places, veering rightward on its politics? It would seem it would be an easy win for most Democrats, but that's obviously not the case.
No, you know, it's there's kind of a weird dynamic in the last few cycles in some of our larger cities. Shreveport, Alexandria, Monroe have all elected either Republicans or Republicans or independents as their mayor. So there's three white men serving in those three of the largest.
Three of the seven metro areas. Yeah, isn't that something?
It is kind of odd. I can't put my finger on what it is.
Well, it's turnout. That's what elections are all about. I think that's there are other factors, of course. But if all the Democrats came out and all the Republicans came out, the results in those places would be different.
Well, we clearly saw the turnout was reached a, if not an all time low, a terrible low in this most recent governor's election. And the results were, as you said, the Republican turnout was much more robust than Democrats. Couldn't even, you know, were unable to even make the runoff in the governor's race, and unable to make any close calls in any statewide races. That as of January 8th, there will be no statewide elected Democrats for the first time since 2015.
Yeah, and that was only a very brief period. John Bel Edwards change that. And as recently as 2005, every statewide office was held by a Democrat. So in 18 years, we went from all Democrats to all Republicans, and now two Republicans in the U.S. Senate, of course, as well. And Mary Patricia Ray, you got a Democrat into office in 2015 who beat a guy who had never lost a race. David Vitter, now in retrospect, appears to have been a flawed candidate, but at the time he was a heavy, heavy favorite. How did you do it?
Well, you know, I had Senator Vitter as a guest in my law school class on Monday. Posted
and
about
he actually,
it.
He actually...
Oh, he did a great lecture on the differences between federal legislating and state level enactment processes. And, you know, he is a constitutional scholar. Make no mistake about it. One of the smartest lawyers I've ever met. And yeah, I think he was a flawed candidate, but has been gracious. And I think to me in many ways that he didn't have to be. And I respect that. Politics is really personal for a lot of people, mm-hmm. in it and out of it. And it has personal consequences. I'm a big believer that you got to sit down and have a conversation after it's over if you want to govern. And he, you know, how did we do it? We ran a nearly perfect candidate against a highly flawed one. And we had the hardest working candidate in the race, someone who was accessible and transparent, and who was the perfect contrast. I mean, John Bel Edwards was the perfect contrast to David Vitter in that exact moment. But we will have a Democratic governor again in Louisiana, Jim, and it's not going to be as long as people think it is.
Well, we have veered from Democrat to Republican every time over the course of the last 50 years. If you count Romer as a Republican, he was elected as a Democrat but became a Republican. If you count him as a Republican, and then we went from Edwards to Treen. That's Democrat to Republican. Then we went from Treen back to Edwards. Mm-hmm. We went to Romer. We went. Romer leaves and went back to Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
we went to Foster. We went to Blanco. We went to Jindal. We went to John Bell. We went to Jeff Landry. Mm-hmm. So the next governor, if we use that formula, will be a Democrat. But I'm not sure. I'm not as of the mind that you are that the cycle will change.
8 years is a long time, and one big advantage.
But you're assuming it's 8 years too.
Well, I think that's a pretty safe assumption, barring any crazy unforeseen circumstances. And by the way, you know, one of my other bosses is Billy Nungesser, who would step in if there were unforeseen circumstances as a Republican, mm-hmm. And I think would likely have a path to a term himself if that happened.
Well, if he had the power of incumbency, mm-hmm. I think he would have won this time. Well, there were rumors, of course, that John Bell was going to take a cabinet position or become ambassador to the Vatican, but that didn't happen. And Billy Nungesser knew that it wasn't his time. Go ahead, Greg.
That was Billy making those rumors.
Hey, Billy, of course, I think he liked the fact that those rumors were out there, but they weren't true rumors.
I can confirm, though, that he received encouragement about those claims from people in federal government in close to the White House. So when he said those things, it wasn't just a whimsy. But, you know, frankly, I'm glad that John Bel Edwards stayed. And I think his legacy as a governor is going to be as one of the best ones we've ever had.
And John Bel Edwards once told me, now I don't know this would hold true if he were governor, but he said if the president asks him to do something, he's inclined to do it. And so if Joe Biden had called him over the last 4 years and said, I want you to be Secretary of Defense, I think John Bell's off to the races. I don't think he would have left to be ambassador to the Vatican, even though he is a devout Catholic. I don't think that would have been a job that he would have taken, but I don't know. That's my speculation. But I do think he would have taken another prominent position. If the president had called him and said, I want you, he would have taken it, and Billy Nungesser would have been the governor of Louisiana.
Will
Jeff Landry be offered something by perhaps the next president, Donald John Trump? That's a possibility too.
People in this state want to be governor. They want it so bad. And, you know, there are people who have rearranged their entire careers to try to make it happen, or to put themselves in a position to make it happen in 8 years or 12 years. And it's just a highly coveted job. I think once you catch that car, once you're the dog that catches the car and you have to govern, mm-hmm. you can't always govern the same way you ran your campaign, but you are just happy to be governor of Louisiana. It's a job people want.
Mike in Villa Del Rey, you're on with Greg Hilburn and with Mary Patricia Ray. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Mary Patricia Ray, I follow you on X and the nightmare you're going through with your children. And I've got a 12-year-old. And I listened to Talk Louisiana quite a bit. I heard Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser give us the rundown on the condition of the state the other day. And then I look and I see, well, we're doing great as long as we're not in compared to West Virginia or Mississippi. Could you give me some words of inspiration?
Well, as a transplant, who I'll never live that down, you know, I didn't grow up here. I didn't move here until I was 20 years old. I love this state so much that I believe even when I have had opportunities to leave, I have turned them down. And I think the only thing that could make me leave now is that my children are at a serious disadvantage when they stay in Louisiana to receive their education. I disagree with a lot of people about the reasons that our quality of education is poor. But my word of encouragement would be, there is no other state that I have ever visited or lived in where people love it as much as people who live in Louisiana love Louisiana. And I do believe that means we have something really special to tap into, and we need a transformational leader and leaders, people like Billy, frankly, that can take that passion that people have for the state and turn it into something measurable. And I think he does a lot of that work. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jeff Landry's transition team, which I serve on, comes up with and what his first executive budget looks like. And I'll never discount that good intentions can actually create good policy.
Greg, you've raised a family in Louisiana, children. How's that experience been for you?
Well, I'm a Louisiana native. I do love the state, but raising my children here was fantastic. They had are having a great childhood, even though they're in college, and in college here, I might add, my twins. But you know, it's hard for me to encourage them to stay. I'd love for them to stay, but you know, we still have a lot of problems. Let's face it. We as many governors as I've covered, and as many governors as I've watched, even before I was covering politics, that you know, they all say they're going to be transformational leaders, but really, we hadn't moved the needle. I'm sorry to say, we really hadn't. In population, not in education. I mean, look at all the rankings. And so, I'm always hopeful, but we've been a long time in a rut in a lot of important areas.
Okay, hold that thought. So, we'll return to have another quarter hour with Greg Hilburn and Mary Patricia Ray, your number, and we will go to the phones as well. 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Mary Patricia Ray and Greg Hilburn are with us. Mary Patricia Ray, a political consultant of note who worked with John Bel Edwards, and as you just heard her, she's actually part of the transition for Governor-elect Jeffrey Martin Landry. And as we know, Edwards and Landry often were not on the same page. Greg Hilburn has covered that feud through the years. There was even some talk that Edwards might not even be at the inaugural. He might pull a Donald Trump, but I don't think that's the case. I think January 8th, which is only 39 days away, Greg, I think we'll see Governor Edwards in the crowd cheering his successor and wishing him well.
I think that's absolutely be the case. They've had a very, obviously, a often fractious relationship serving together in statewide offices, but they've had a very cordial relationship in the transition and have been very complimentary of each other. I did an interview with the governor-elect and the future first lady to talk about their lives and what they would look like in the mansion, or splitting time there in the mansion in Acadiana. And they were, you know, just very complimentary of both the Governor Edwards and Donna. So, you know, now that they're not rivals, I'm sure they can find at least, collegial ground, if not common ground, collegial ground.
Well, they do have some things in common. They're both Catholics, Army men, Now they're governors, and that's a select club. And the governor of Louisiana, Jeffrey Martin Landry, in the early going, certainly appears to be open to talking and perhaps even visiting with people of all political stripes. And I saw photos, including some from you, Mary Patricia Ray. Saturday, he was at the Bayou Classic, and there he was. LaToya Cantrell.
Well, we went semi-viral, I guess, with it. And here's the story, Jim. It's one of these things. I'm always fascinated by how the public responds to people being in the, you know, a lot of people at a football game, right? Mm-hmm. I was in one of the lower level suites where the governor-elect was, and Mayor Cantrell walked past, and I said, "Hey, could I get a picture with both of you?" And because I just think, what a great picture, right? Mm-hmm. Scrapbook level. They were both very gracious and did it for me. And the mayor insisted on standing next to the governor-elect in the photo. I wanted to be in the middle, Jim, but some kind of bridge builder. But I think it just goes to show you that the perception that's out there on the stage when it comes to campaigning and politics is, yeah, we say a lot of bad things about each other. We try to draw contrasts. We have, you know, intense research on our opponents. At the end of the day, when it comes to governing and doling out tax dollars, you tend to back down from that extreme rhetoric, angry stuff. And I think it's good and it's healthy. The internet didn't like the photo to some degree. And some people loved it. Some people hated it. But I think it is remarkable when people actually get a look at how elected officials behave in private, because it's not the same as a campaign season. And it should not be.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. I guess my question concerns the first subject y'all were talking about, that absentee voting that y'all started off with. I mean, do you think, I guess my question is, shouldn't we have more regulations on absentee and mail-in voting so we can prevent, you know, to make sure that the activists are not voting on behalf of people, that the people that are doing the absentee voting are the actual ones voting? And I really think you should have a valid reason or a disability to vote absentee or mail-in voting.
Well, I think that's a great question. And I guess it depends on what a valid reason is. And when we say absentee, we do mean in-person early voting and vote by mail. And we do have a pretty rigorous signature matching system for when you fill out a paper absentee ballot and submit it. Your signature has to match. And if it doesn't, it will be a provisional ballot. It won't count. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd say there's a fine line between discouraging people from voting and making sure that they can. Not everybody can go vote on Saturday, and that doesn't mean that it's not a valid reason they can't go. Maybe their kid has a football game. Maybe they want to go to the LSU game and they have to vote in Broussard, you know?
We've had some elections. Another listener notes the 79 governor's election on election night. Dave Treen was in a runoff with Jimmy Fitzmaurice, and Fitzmaurice would have won that race. But a recount put Lewis Lambert ahead of Fitzmaurice, and Jimmy Fitzmaurice, he accepted it, and it cost him the governorship. And when I was a kid in New Orleans, he lost a mayor's race in New Orleans to Victor Skiro by about 110 votes. So he was a guy who had bad luck. But sometimes that's the way it happens in politics. But Greg Hilburn, a guy who's had very good luck of late, now the question is whether that will continue, and it's an unbelievable rise to prominence, is your friend, this guy is a friendly person, even though his politics are sometimes considered by many to be unfriendly, Mike Johnson. What about Mike Johnson?
Well, isn't it a wild ride? In 2016, you know, he was in the state house as a state representative that was not particularly, you know, as a freshman, so not particularly powerful. You know, less than 10 years later, he's the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. It's surreal. It's remarkable. His rise, and the circumstances that, I mean, Louisiana thought it would have its first speaker, but it thought it was going to be Steve Scalise, certainly not Mike Johnson. Now, Louisiana finds itself for the only time in history, somebody could probably correct me, but as far as I can tell, that one state, especially certainly a state as small as Louisiana, has both the number one and two positions, you know, in the House of Representatives, with Scalise as the majority leader and Speaker Johnson. It's really something.
How do you think congressional redistricting will go, Greg?
I think Garrett Graves is now, you know, in peril if a new map is indeed eventually drawn. I believe that though he hasn't told me this, that the new governor-elect and legislature, some of whom have told me this, the Republicans there, are not happy with Congressman Graves because of, tied his loyalty to the Speaker McCarthy, which served him well for a few months, and they felt like he disrespected Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson in their, you know, bids.
And he supported Stephen Wagesback.
All right, and so very publicly. So, you know, there's a target on him right now. For the longest time, it seemed as if, you know, the maps would draw out, or you can't say automatically draw out. They could still run and win, but would put Congressman Julia Letlow in the most peril. But now I think the target is up. Congressman Graves is back. I do. I really do.
All right. Holly in the Garden District asks, and Mary Patricia, this is a delicious scenario. Graves, by all accounts, is going to have to fight to keep his district, and he may not win if the districts are redrawn in time for the election next November. What about Graves running for mayor of Baton Rouge? He would be a formidable candidate if he suited up and ran against
anyone that has the experience raising the kind of money you have to raise to be in Congress definitely comes into something like a mayor's race with a big advantage.
He might not want the job.
My political consultant brain would advise him not to do that because I think it looks like a downgrade. And I don't mean that as any offense about like the office of, you know, the mayor. But I think, you know, if you want to preserve your political acumen and opportunities for the future, it might be better to either not run in your new district or to try to run in your new district. And even if you lose
or run in another district, but he's got options or he could wait and run against Cassidy in 2 years.
He might find himself in a cabinet, you know, position or have an opportunity in federal government. It's hard to walk away from public office for a lot of people, especially when it's not planned. But, you know, there are just so many opportunities out there after you leave public office to make a difference because of your expertise and your connections and and also to make money.
But he is a Baton Rouge guy, and the city has challenges, and it will have challenges no matter who is mayor, by the way. But right now, as Ralph McAllister has reported, it looks like Ted James is running and Sharon Weston Broome is running, and there is a lane for a Republican to certainly make a runoff. And depending on turnout again, even though this has become a blue parish, a person like Graves would be formidable. But at this point, I'm with you. I think he's more likely to seek a federal office than
or even a private sector
office.
Opportunity. I mean, his experience on coastal restoration and disaster response and all
he,
of that.
He'll have options, but it's hard to leave the roar of the crowd, though, as Greg Hilburn knows. And Greg, it's good to hear from you. Let's do this more often. Thank you for joining us today.
Good being with you, Greg.
Always good to see you, kid. Thank y'all.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for listening today. Signature support from Subaru Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. For Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.